Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. It is so great to be here with all of you as we continue our series on love, dates, and heartbreak. And I'm so happy to be here on such an action-packed Sunday with so much happening, but even more excited to be sharing with all of you what God has put on my heart today. Now, if we haven't met before, my name is Chloe. I'm the Students Director here at The Rocks. And from everyone here at The Rocks, I want to welcome you, especially if this is your first time here, whether you're here in person or you're tuning in online. We're so glad that you're a part of our family. Now, before I dive into the message this morning, I'd love to pray for all of us. So would you please join me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you that you are already here with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are shaping us, molding us to be more like your son, Jesus. And so, Father, today I pray that our hearts would be open and our mind would be receptive to what you want to say to us. We commit the rest of this gathering into your hands. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I always like it. I love it when we talk about dating and marriage. It's probably one of my most favorite series that we do in a year. Because let's be honest, who doesn't love talking about love? I love talking about love. In fact, when I was growing up at The Rocks, we'd always do a love, dating, marriage sort of series every year. And I knew that I always got valuable insight every single year. In fact, those messages shaped my understanding of love, dating, and marriage. And so my hope today, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, you would know that God has something specific that he wants to say to you in your season. Now, I also know today that there are not many of you who know much about my dating history or my marriage history. And I'd love to share a little bit with that with all of you today, since we are family after all. Now, I started dating this wonderful man named Sam when I was 17 years old. Hi, Sam. Woo! So I brought some photos to show you. And as you can see, that photo in the middle, that's when we first started dating. We had a lot of baby fat. But praise the Lord, the fat melted and we look sort of semi-normal in those photos. Now, I actually remember the first time I ever met Sam. I was 14 years old, and my parents invited him and his older brother Mike for dinner at our house. And I was thinking, this guy, he's so shy, he's so quiet. And then that's when I realized he couldn't speak much English. So he barely spoke a word of English, but my parents just really, really liked him. And so as we got to know him, the months went by, and one day my mom said to Sam, "Sam, I've always wanted a son. But I don't have a son, I have two girls. So, you know, I always imagined that if I did have a son, he'd be like you. He'd be sweet, charming, funny. And so I'd like to legally adopt you as my son. And I like to call you Sammy Chong from now on." And so Sam, being the sweetheart he is, he went along with it. But little did we know that in a few years' time, it would be me who would change my last name to his. You see, we finally got married when I was 21. So Mom and Dad, you are so welcome. I know, you owe me a lot. But I remember at that time, so many of my friends in high school, they were saying that you are absolutely crazy to get married at such a young age. You've got your whole life ahead of you. And I knew that in my heart that this is exactly what I've wanted. And Sam and I, we've never looked back. In fact, this April, we'll be celebrating 5 years of marriage. And there's a very high chance that our baby girl will be born on our wedding anniversary date, which is really, really nice. Now, yeah, if you did miss the memo, by the way, I'm not just chunky for no reason. I am indeed pregnant. And so if you hear me huffing and puffing, it's because for some reason, this baby girl likes to crawl up into my lungs, into my airspace. It makes it a bit hard to breathe. So it's not that I have poor cardiovascular health. Okay, I'm actually healthy. Now, whether you are single to mingle, maybe you're dating, maybe you're not even interested in dating, maybe you're engaged, maybe you've been married for 5 years or 50 years, I know for a fact, and without a shadow of a doubt, that there is something golden that you can learn today, something that I believe God wants every single one of us to hear. But before we go ahead, there are some things that I want to point out. The first is that it's often quite hard to see the love or the dating or the relationship issue that we have in our lives. It's very easy to see in other people and in other people's relationship, but often very hard to see in ourselves. So today, as I'm speaking, I don't want to see any nudging or pointing or like squeezing your partner's knees really hard as I'm speaking. No, today, I really want all of us to think hard about who we are and who we are becoming. Because the thing about dating is that it's not just about, it's not just getting with somebody, it's becoming somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, so often we hear people ask each other, so what's your dream guy? Or who's your dream girl? And then we hear them list a bunch of things that they have to have in a partner. Actually, one of my favorite TV shows of all times is this Japanese reality TV show called Terrace House. Does anyone know? Do we have any fans? Yeah, two people. Woo! So Terrace House, for those of you who don't know, essentially it's about three girls and three guys who live together in this house. And it's totally unscripted, but Japan and the rest of the world who watch on Netflix are hoping that a love, that a romance would blossom organically in an environment like this. And so members are free to come and go. And so whenever a new member comes in, you can always guess what the question is going to be. So what's your type? Who are you looking for? What do you like in a man? And so we see them list the usual suspects. I want someone kind, someone generous, someone funny, someone easygoing, somebody who can cook, who can clean, someone who isn't judgmental, someone who isn't angry, someone who isn't a serial killer. They just list all of those stuff down. And so you've probably asked a question like this to your friend. Or maybe a friend has asked you this question. You yourself might even have a list of qualities, non-negotiables that your future partner must have. But the question I want to ask to you today is this. Those things that you've listed down, things like being strong-willed, kind, generous, are you yourself those things? Do you have those qualities as well? Or are you at least working towards having those qualities? Because today I'm not so interested in pointing fingers. I'm not wanting to discuss your most recent argument or problem because we all have them. And I'm definitely not wanting to hear things like, oh, we have this issue because she's like that. Or we have this marital issue because he's like that. Today, I want to talk to you about you. So if you're looking to date and you're single and you're looking for that partner, here's a question for you. Am I becoming the person I'm looking for is looking for? In other words, if you're looking for someone courageous, are you yourself courageous? If you're looking for someone who is faithful, are you yourself working at becoming more and more faithful with what God has given you? If you're looking for someone kind-hearted, are you yourself becoming more and more kind to the people that you come in contact with? You know, something really important to understand if you're still single and you're looking to date is this. The time that you have now and the time where you actually meet that woman or the man of your dreams is important. Don't waste that time because that's time that you're never going to get again. And if you're already dating and you've got this wonderful boyfriend or this wonderful girlfriend, then here's a question for you. How am I becoming the best possible future husband or best possible future wife for my boyfriend or for my girlfriend? You know, all married people know or should know that there is no such thing as a marital problem. There are only personality problems. And Daniel mentioned this last week. You see, you bring your problems and your bad habits and they bring their problems and bad habits. And just because you sign a paper and you make a vow and you have a party, it doesn't mean that these problems disappear. If anything, these problems become magnified because in marriage, you spend a lot of time together, living together, finding a new routine together, growing together. And so this is also important, and I want you to grasp it. Don't wait for marriage to improve. Improve now. Start working out those hubby material muscles. Start working out those wife material muscles because the sooner you do this, the better. And for my married friends here today, here's a question for you. How am I becoming the husband? How am I becoming the wife that I vowed to be? How are you becoming the best possible husband, the best possible wife for your spouse? You know, just because you're married and it's a done deal and you promise to be with each other for better or for worse doesn't give you an excuse to not becoming a better version of yourself, to be constantly improving. Excuses like, oh, but she knew that when she married me. Oh, he knew that that was my personality when we got married. They're certainly not good enough. And if you're a Christ follower today, that's definitely not good enough, because we need to be becoming more and more like Christ each and every day. Why? Because it sets us up to win at life. You know, if you're not a Christian here today, can I let you know that we are so happy that you're here. Now, I believe that you're going to get so much out of today's message, whether you're single, dating, or married, because today we're going to be talking about what real love looks like. And I know in a time like this and in a generation like this, we're all looking for that love that will satisfy the deepest part of our hearts and the deepest part of our soul. And so today, I want to start off at one of the most important commandments that Jesus gave us. And if you're a Christian here today, you would be very familiar with this verse. But it's John 15, verse 12, and it says this: "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you." So no surprise today. Today we're going to be talking and exploring about what love is. You know, there's this song that my parents like. It's like an old song, but not too old because I don't want to reveal their age. But it goes, "I want to know what love is." It sounded better in my head. Sorry, it sounded really good up here, but not when it came out. But I guarantee you today that when you leave this room, you will know what love is. You know, in the book of Corinthians, Paul actually dives deeper into what love is, what love looks like, and how we can show love based on Jesus' command to do so. Now, last week, Daniel spoke briefly on this verse, but I'd love to take it a step further and to dive a little bit deeper into this verse today. So Paul starts off by saying in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, "Love is patient." Let's have a pause and just practice patience for a moment. Good. You guys are very patient. You pat yourself on the back. Say, "I'm a patient person." But do you struggle with being patient? Because I know I certainly did. In fact, when I first started dating Sam, he very kindly pointed out that I was impatient. You see, he saw me having a conversation with my dad. And so later that day, Sam said, "Chloe, the way you dealt with your dad was very impatient. I hope that as we get older, you won't become more and more impatient with me." And that comment really struck me, and it shocked me, but it made me stop and think about my behavior and how impatient I actually am. You know, impatience is not love. If someone is pushy, forceful, demanding of you, that is not love. And for the younger girls out there, this is important. If you're interested in someone who is pushy or forces you to do things that you're not comfortable with, that's not love. That's being selfish. And you don't want that type of partner who is selfish. Now, do you find yourself being pushy? Because being patient means being willing to move at another person's pace. A patient love is willing and able to endure. Patience enables us to withstand anger, to not have uncontrollable bursts of anger that hurt the people around us. You know, the most patient love that you will see is God's love towards us. God is always patient. He's never forceful. He always goes at our pace, and he meets us where we are at. He never grows tired at our lack of faith, when we complain about the same things, when we worry when things are outside of our control. He's a father who is so patient with you and your habits and your personality, however imperfect it might be. So if God has done that for you, then as Christ followers, we need to do that too in all of our relationships, whether that's with your husband, your wife, your friend, your coworker. Practice patience always, because God is always patient with you. In fact, when you show patience, you're showing that person what God's love really looks like. The writer Paul continues, "Love is kind." Love is kind. Not many people speak about kindness, but to me, it's one of the most important qualities that someone can have. In fact, I knew that I wanted to marry Sam when I first saw him displaying an act of kindness. You know, we were eating in this food court, and once we were done, Sam packed up our dirty plates on the tray, ready for the cleaner to just grab and go. But the cleaner that was approaching our table, she was an elderly Asian lady. And without hesitation, Sam got up from his seat, took our trays and the plates and brought them to the bin, because I assumed he didn't want this poor lady to be carrying all our mess and carrying like a dirty, heavy tray. And then so when he came back, this lady was wiping our table. And Sam says, "Hi, auntie." By the way, I should clarify, we Asian people call older people aunties and uncles. It doesn't mean that we're related. So just in case you get confused and you're like, "Is this Kleena Chloe's auntie?" No, we don't know her. So Sam said, "Auntie, how are you? How's your day going? Has it been busy for you?" And this lady literally, her jaw dropped to the table. She had to physically pick it up. You know, she was so shocked that someone was interested in her, that someone wanted to know how she was doing, that somebody was actually wanting to hear a reply. And so I watched as Sam and this lady continue talking, and I just sat there with like love heart eyes. I'm like, "Oh, he's so dreamy." But you know, ladies, if that doesn't turn you on, I don't know what does. Because kindness is always sexy. I don't know if I can say sexy on stage, Pastor D, but I just did. It's the best word for kindness. Kindness is always sexy. It never goes out of style. In fact, there's a quote that I remember reading as a teenager, and it's just stuck with me since. And it's a quote by Samuel Johnson. It says, "The true measure of a man is how he treats someone who can do him absolutely no good." So do you treat people with kindness even though there's absolutely nothing that they can do for you? Do you treat the poor, the marginalized, the weak with kindness? Because this is the truth. Unkindness is weakness. People who are unkind, they cannot control their tongue. They cannot control their attitudes, their thoughts. And that's not a very likable quality in a partner, let alone in a Christ follower. You see, kindness is this. Kindness is loaning someone your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. Kindness is love's response to weakness. You know, if you think about it, that's exactly how God showed his love and his kindness to us. In Romans 5 verse 8, it says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." You know, God didn't remind us that we were weak. He didn't remind us that we were weak, incapable human beings. In fact, it says that he showed great love. When? While we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, in that very moment, Christ loaned you his strength because he knew that you didn't have any strength of your own to overcome the power and the grip of sin. And that's real love. And if you're not a Christian here today, can I let you know something? God loves you so much. Right where you're at, with all your imperfections, with all the areas of your life that you think are messy, God loves you, and he loves you with a powerful, limitless, irrevocable, all-consuming love. My hope and my desire for you is that you would experience this love for yourself, that you would be open to knowing more about this God who loves you so much, who loves you endlessly, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. In the same way that Christ has shown us this great love, how can we show this great love to other people? Our husbands, our wives, our boyfriends or girlfriends. We can demonstrate this love by loaning people our strength. You know, when your partner is down, pick them up with encouraging words. When the world is beating down on your husband, don't join in. Loan him your strength. Remind him why you believe in him, why you chose him, why you love him, why you're proud of him. Husbands, when you see your wife struggling at home to do something, loan her your strength. These things might be a piece of cake for you, but it's a struggle for her. You know, things like cleaning those hard-to-reach places, throwing out the trash, fixing things that are broken around the house. Remind her that she is strong, not just at home, but in the workplace and in raising your children, because that's what love is, responding to your partner's weakness with kindness. Now, the question that I want us to ask ourselves is this. What is your go-to response to weakness in other people? Do you easily get frustrated? Are you quick to point out their weakness to them? Or worse, are you quick to point out their weakness to other people? And for those of you who are dating, you still have time. And I want you to pay close attention to your boyfriend or your girlfriend's response to weakness in other people. Because this is the hard truth. Their response to weakness in other people will eventually become their response to your weakness. So, do they treat people's weakness with kindness? Because if they do, then that will be your experience when they see you weak, when you're weak, or when you struggle. But if they're not kind with people who have weakness, then unfortunately that will be your experience when your weakness becomes obvious to your partner. And for those of you who aren't dating yet, but you're looking for that potential partner and you're looking for that special someone, look for someone who is kind to everyone, not just those who can benefit them. If someone is only kind to someone because they can do something for them or they can benefit in some way, that's not genuine kindness. Because people who use kindness as a means to an end are often just mean in the end. It's as simple as that. You know, the next description of love by Paul is this: love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love allows others to shine. Love praises publicly. Love does everything they can to make their partner look good. Love is not threatened by other people's success. I want you to have a think about your internal reaction to people's success, your husband's success, your wife's success, your children or your friend or your coworker's success. Do you secretly feel jealous? Do you feel the need to say something good about yourself? Or worse, do you feel the need to say something negative about that person who was just being praised? If you struggle with this, I want to be completely honest and completely blunt with you today. If you feel uncomfortable or unhappy with the success of those around you, especially those you love, especially those you are closest to, then there is something that you see in yourself that you don't like. And can I encourage you to fix that? Can I encourage you to work on that? Because until you do, you won't be able to love people authentically and genuinely in the same way that Christ loves you. You know, in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8, it says this: don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You know, there was not one bit of pride in Jesus when he died for your sin and mine. In fact, he was so overwhelmed with love that there was just no space for pride in his heart. You see, when your heart is overwhelmed with the understanding of God's love for you, you too will realize that there is just no space for pride in your heart as well. Love does not envy. Love does not boast, and love is not prideful. Now, the last description that we're going to look at today is this: love does not dishonor others. Love does not dishonor others. You know, honor is such a huge part of our faith. In fact, honor is one of the most important qualities of a relationship. Honor is at the heart of every healthy and satisfying relationship. You know, when you dishonor someone, when you act indecently, disgracefully, or do something that creates regret in another person, that's not love. You are being dishonorable with your actions. And the easiest way that I can explain to you what honor looks like is this. If you could invite anyone to your house, who would be your guest of honor? I'll give you a couple of moments to think about it while I drink. You know, I had to think about who I would invite, and as corny and as cliche as it sounds, it would be Jesus. But don't be feeling guilty if you said like Blackpink or The Rock, Dwayne Johnson or Kanye West or Justin Bieber. That's totally your call. But say you did invite this person to your house, this guest of honor, and they accept your invite. How would you behave? Would you bring out your sloppy bad habits? Would you eat ice cream from the tub at the dining table? Would you drink Coke from a 1.25 liter bottle and use that same Coke to serve your guests? Would you use dirty cutlery and dirty plates? Would you have a sink full of dirty dishes from 3 days ago that makes your house smell like moldy cheese? Of course not. You would bring your best self to this party. You would show your best qualities when meeting this guest of honor, and you would treat this guest of honor with honor and respect. You would bring the best version of yourself to this party, especially when meeting the guest of honor. And so my question to all of us today is this: are you bringing the best version of yourself to your relationships? Because that's how we show honor to someone. We do our best. We treat them with respect. We honor them with the way we treat them and the way we speak to them. And for those of you who are dating, This is extremely important, and I can't stress this enough. If you are in a relationship and you're dating and you're constantly being dishonored, you need to get out of that relationship immediately, like right now. I even give you permission to text that person and say, I want out, because this is the dangerous thing. And I've been here before, so you can trust me. If you are constantly being dishonored and you don't break up with that person, you will start to believe that you are worthy of being dishonored. And that's a dangerous place to go to, because that will affect your self-esteem. It will affect your self-confidence, the way you see yourself, and the way you think God sees you. And to everyone else, I want to make it very clear today. Everyone is worthy of being honored. Everyone is worthy of being treated with honor, with respect, with value. How and why do I know this? Because the value of someone is determined by the price someone is willing to pay. And can I let you know today that you were bought at an extremely high price? You were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, who thought that you were worth dying for. So you are extremely valuable. You deserve to be honored not because of who you are, but because of whom you belong to. Honor has nothing to do with your gifts, your talents, your skills, what you've done, what you haven't done. People should honor you because you are the son. You are the daughter of the Most High King, and he loves you. You know, the same goes the other way. If you dishonor someone by the way you treat them, by the way you think about them or the way you speak to them, you aren't just being dishonoring to that person, but you're dishonoring God as well. And God sees every thought. He sees every heart, every motive. So think carefully about that before you decide whether or not someone is worthy to be treated with honor. And for those of you who are married, I don't need to tell you. You know in your hearts of hearts whether or not you've been honoring to your husband or your wife. In fact, one way that you can know if you have been honoring or not is to think about the last few times you spoke about your husband or wife when they weren't in the room. Did what you say show honor? Did it put your husband or wife in a negative light? You know, if looking back you think, maybe I didn't speak about them in an honoring way, then I believe that God is going to nudge you, and he's going to stir your heart, and he's going to keep doing so until you change and until you decide to start honoring your husband or wife the way Jesus Christ honors you. Now, before we close, there's a little activity that I want all of us to do as a church family. I want us to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 verse 7 every day, and I want you to pray it out loud. If you need to be more patient, ask God to give you opportunities to practice patience. If you need to be more kind, ask God to give you opportunities where you can exercise kindness. You know, I believe with my whole heart that we will see a positive change in our relationships as we pray and as we ponder 1 Corinthians 13. You know, doing all of these things, like being kind, patient, boastful, not envious, honoring, they not only make you a better partner or a better future partner, but it makes you more Christ-like. And that should be the aim of every single one of us who call ourselves a Christ follower. You know, following Jesus and learning to love like Jesus did will not only prepare you to win in all of your current relationships, but all your future relationships as well. So if you're still single and you're looking to date, start exercising those muscles now. How are you preparing yourself to date? Are you improving in character? Are you becoming more and more Christ-like? Don't wait until you've found someone or you're interested in someone to start improving. You can improve now. And if you're already dating, use this time to become the best version of yourself before you get married. You know, all of these things, being kind, being patient, not being prideful, you might be surprised to know that these things, they don't come naturally. And they certainly don't come naturally after marriage. If anything, marriage will highlight just how unkind you are, just how impatient you might be. So start improving now, before you get married. And if you're already married, can I encourage you to not get tired of doing your best, being your best, giving your best, to not get tired of growing as a person. Work at showing honor. Be aware of your inner thoughts. Show appreciation and love for your spouse every single chance you can get. Wives, submit to your husband the way the church submits to Christ. And husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, before we close today, I don't want to leave without giving you the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ if you haven't done so before. You know, today we've been talking so much about God's love and how He loves us so much by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in a place for our sin, for the sin that we've done. You know, none of us are perfect. We never will be. It will always be a constant journey. But perhaps today is the day that you take that next step and place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing that He's paid it all for you so that when you die, you will spend eternity with the God who loves you, who is patient with you, who is kind to you, who has never ever given up on you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.